For that today?
Well then, if you would join me, would you reach your hand out towards Pastor Mills? We pray for him and pray over the message. Father God, we're coming expectant today. We believe that your word is alive and active, that when it is spoken, it does not return void. And so God, we pray that not only will your word today be working, but also that your Holy Spirit will be working through Pastor Mills today, that it wouldn't just be his words today, but you would speak through him. Help to shape us and mold us today, and help us to look more and more like your son Jesus today. In your precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you, sir. Well, I see what you are doing there. Most of y'all know, if you know me, that I have to have both hands to talk. And so if I've only got one hand to talk, you'll think the message is only going to be half as long. We'll see how that goes, right? Well, good morning. Welcome to Quarry Rock Church. My name is Milt, in case you didn't know, and I am incredibly privileged and honored to be back here at Quarry Rock, where ministry began for us all those years ago. And I am incredibly proud of your pastor, Pastor Tim. He is a great friend. Amen. Yeah, give it up for Pastor Tim. He's a great friend, a wonderful lover of God and of God's people. I kind of feel like the Apostle Paul, entrusting young Timothy to the church in Ephesus. Like, here, you take this and you grow it and you serve it and love it. And Paul empowered and just prayed over Timothy, and Timothy just took and did things with that church that Paul honestly couldn't do. And I believe that's where we're at. Pastor Tim is taking Quarry Rock in places that I just reached, I believe, a place where sometimes you just reach a level where you can take people only so far, and it's time to hand the baton on, and that's what happened. And so, again, you have a great pastor, and I am so thankful. Pastor Tim is the man of God for this church, for this season of life, and I am very honored and privileged to be able to bring God's word this morning. How many have ever seen or worn one of those wristbands that have the WWJD on it, right? And I think most of us would probably agree that we understand that stood for what would Jesus do. So if you're wearing that wristband and you're confronted with a temptation or something like that, you might look down and go, what would Jesus do? Okay, I better think twice. I better not do that, or I better do that, or whatever, right? It would maybe curb our temptations. There's been a play on that acronym over the years. Some would say it stood for, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus drive? And the punchline of that would be a Plymouth, because in the Bible, God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden in a fury, the Plymouth Fury, right? That's about all I got. But I recently read one that was actually kind of cool. It was just spun around backwards. It was DJWW, Devil Just Won't Win. And I really like that. And that's why we gather this morning, and that's why we gather every Sunday, is to learn more about Jesus, to become more like Jesus, so that we can defeat the devil and send him running with his tail tucked between his legs. Amen? Amen. So today I want to talk about temptation and how we can overcome temptation, and how we can identify what it is. Because we live in such a time, in such a time as this, where Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, born-again followers of Jesus are just getting the tar beat out of them by falling for dumb temptations over and over and over. And before we dive in, I think it's important for us to clarify and remember that there is a difference, a humongous difference, between a trial and a temptation. Sometimes people use them like they're interchangeable, synonymous, and they're just totally not, almost like opposites. A trial is something that is oftentimes designed by God, but always used by God to bring us closer to his precious son, Jesus Christ. Okay? That's a trial. Those are often designed by God, and they're designed for the purpose of making us more like Jesus. A temptation is always, always designed by the devil, and his purpose in temptation is not to bring us closer to Jesus, but to make us go farther away from him. Okay, so is everybody clear on that? A big difference between a trial and a temptation. A trial is designed to make us more like God. A temptation is designed by the devil to take us farther away from him. Consider this word picture for temptation. Listen closely. As innocent as they may seem, temptations are in fact the friction points between two kingdoms. If we see only the temptation and nothing more, we are missing the iceberg beneath the tip. A temptation is only the visible point of a gigantic satanic scheme to regain the ownership of what now belongs to God. No matter how quickly the temptation surfaces and how unplanned it may appear, it is a strategic stroke by Satan to catch us off balance and pull us and our gifts and our talents back over into the realm of evil. Listen. Please do not underestimate the power of saying no when you really want to say yes. Okay, don't underestimate and just say, oh, I caved in. Don't underestimate the power of being determined and saying no when everything inside of you or about you wants to scream yes. Okay, so we're going to look at a good working definition of the word temptation, and then we're going to look at the small but powerful arsenal that the devil has and uses to cause chaos and mayhem amongst Bible-believing followers of Jesus every single day. So if you have a pen, you're taking notes, write this down. A definition of temptation is this. Temptation is the enticement to do wrong by a promise of pleasure or gain. Temptation is the enticement to do wrong by a promise of pleasure or gain. And regardless of what it is, it always promises something better. Okay? It always promises a promotion. It always promises something bigger, better, stronger, you know, whatever it is. Lust promises pleasure. See that? Lust promises pleasure. Greed promises financial gain. Judging promises self-elevation. If I do this, then I'll get this. It's always a promise of something better, something bigger. But the problem is it never delivers the goods. It is counterfeit at best. Everything that temptation promises, it doesn't deliver. And what it does deliver is always counterfeit and never the real thing. Lust promises pleasure. Yet we know the scripture says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But we know how that ends. It ends in the ways of death. Judging others promises self-elevation, but we all know that we're all on the same playing field with God. For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, right? We look at all of these things, whatever it promises. Greed promises financial gain, but we all know that what happens to money and all our possessions in the end, it all burns up. It's all temporary. It doesn't last. It's counterfeit. And as we look at Scripture, I believe it's important for us to remember that God's Word is and has to be, must remain our final authority in everything we do. Listen, I understand. Sometimes we may not like what the Bible has to say. Sometimes it may just rub us a little bit sideways. Because it may confront us with something we're about to do or a lifestyle that we're in or a habit we have or whatever. And it may confront us. It may challenge us. It may convict us. But the Bible has to remain our final authority in everything in life. Everything. And so as we go on this morning, I want us to be able to remember that even though we may not always like what the Scripture has to say, it's always true. It's always right. It's always for our good and His glory. Amen? So as a reminder, I want you to help me recite this little phrase just a reminder that God's Word is our authority. Okay? I believe the words are going to be on the screen. Help me out. All right, here we go. Your Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. All right. We used to do that every week, and I see some of you kind of faded off. But it's good to be a reminder that God's word has to remain our authority. Okay, 1 John, if you have your Bible, you want to open it up. If you want to go all the way there, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. So if you go all the way to the right to Revelation, you went just a little too far, back up to the left, a couple of books, you'll find 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. Okay? And we're going to read a couple verses from there. 1 John chapter 2 in verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all," say all. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." It says, for all that is in the world. That means every possible temptation you could possibly think of. I mean, you could just go to town and try to conjure up any crazy idea and scheme and temptation there is, and every single one will fit into one of these three categories. So the first one is this, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. This is the temptation that goes after, that appeals to our senses. Like, smells good. I want it, right? It feels good. I want it. It tastes good. I want some more, right? The temptation of the lust of the flesh is it appeals to our senses. It could be a sexual temptation. It could be gluttony. It could actually be an overindulgence of a habit or a lifestyle of something that isn't necessarily sinful, but too much of it is just the temptation of too much. It feels good. It smells good. It tastes good. It appeals to our senses. The second one that John talked about is the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. This is where we get caught up in what we see. We see it, we want it, we gotta have it, right? And it's this appeal for what our eyes want to see. It's this enticement towards the world with our physical eyes that has this enticement to take away from seeing with spiritual eyes. Right? If we get so caught up in the world and seeing things with our physical eyes, we stop seeing things with spiritual eyes and chasing after the things of God. And number three is the pride of life. And this is the boasting. This is the bragging about who, you know, and we want everybody to know who I am, what I've accomplished, where I've been. We want to know about all the famous places I've been and the famous people I've rubbed shoulders with and all the things I've accomplished and I've been there and I've done that. And it's this pride of life that we want everybody to know how awesome we are. Whatever the temptation is, it fits into one of those three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Does everybody see that? All right. Now, I want us to go, now flip back a couple more pages to the left. We're going to go to the book of James. And James is just my go-to book. I love the book of James. It's just this, where the rubber meets the road. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus and how to live the Christian life. So James chapter 1 in verse 13, it says, "And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, 'God is tempting me.' God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death." There's a few pretty important things that I want to pull out from those verses that I think is really important that we understand when it comes to temptation. Okay? The first one is this. Temptations are inevitable. Do you notice what James said? He didn't say, hey, if a temptation comes your way. He said, when temptations come, put it on the calendar, mark it down, get ready, strap on. It is coming. Temptations will come. It's inevitable. It's kind of like, reminds me of the prayer that I read. It says, "Dear Lord, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. It's been awesome. But in a few minutes, I'm going to have to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need lots of help," right? Temptations are inevitable. Can anyone relate to that? Right? It's like, so far I'm doing really good. I opened my eyes and I haven't sinned yet. I haven't been tempted, right? Temptations are inevitable. Here's another fact. Temptations are never directed by God. Temptations are never directed by God. Verse 13 is pretty clear. It says God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. God doesn't operate in the realm of evil. So if you find yourself being tempted, you can bet your bottom dollar God had absolutely nothing to do with it. Okay? God had absolutely nothing to do with it. This isn't like the trial that's designed to make you more like Jesus. A temptation is designed to take you farther away from God. And so you need to just identify that as a temptation and go like, I don't know, can any good come from this? No. Run. Right? Temptations are not going to do anything. Just run as far and as fast as away as you can, because you know that it's orchestrated by the devil himself. And here's one more fact. Temptations always follow a consistent pattern. Temptations always follow a consistent pattern. And think about it this way. Two things always have to take place for a temptation to occur. The desire and the opportunity. They're always connected. There's always the opportunity followed by a desire in order to have a temptation. It's like the guy that went into the hardware store and he bought a hammock. A couple days later, he goes back to the hardware store and he says, I want to return this hammock. And the store clerk said, well, is there something wrong with it? He said, no, it just won't work. I realize I only have one tree. It's like that with temptation. Temptation is the hammock hung between the two trees of desire and opportunity. Both of them have to be present in order to have a temptation. Okay? Satan is very observant. Okay? We need to find a right balance here with Satan. Because we understand, if you read all the way to the right and you read that book of Revelation, you understand that in the end, we win, he loses, right? He is a washed up, has been, done for, loser, lower than whale dung. He is a washed up loser in the end. But right now, he's still got some teeth. And he still wants to do some damage. He still hates you and he hates your family. He hates your career. He hates everything about you. And he is smart. He is subtle. He is smart. He knows your weak spots. He has the ability to somehow figure out. Now, he can't get inside your mind. So sometimes it's good just to keep your mouth closed. Because when we say something out into the world, he has access to it. He sees us participating in something, he has access to that. He knows our weak spots. And he knows how to tempt you. He knows where to find that weak spot and put it right in front of you where desire and opportunity come together. There's a temptation and you get to make a decision. Okay? When temptation comes, you got two choices. You can either run as fast and far as you can away from it, or you can run right into it. But be warned, my friends, if you run right into it, it always leads to death. The consequences are not awesome. It leads to death. So, everybody clear on that? There's some fun, simple but important facts to know about temptations. But I don't want to just leave you going, okay, well, temptations are coming. What am I going to do? I want to give you some tools to help you overcome temptation. Because it doesn't say if they come. James says when temptations come, they're coming for you. And now we have to know what to do to fight them off, to be victorious over these temptations. So I want to use a backronym. I didn't even know that was a word. Say backronym. It's a word now, right? But really it is. I mean, because I didn't even know it till not too long ago, but it is. I thought it was like an acrostics. Maybe that works too. But what I want to do is offer you 5 steps to overcoming temptation using the word tempt, T-E-M-P-T. 5 things that we can use to be victorious over temptations and to live the life that God wants us to live. And so we're going to start with that first one is the letter T, and that's totally commit yourselves to God. Totally commit yourselves to God. Pastor Tim was just talking about it, that it continues to be the determining vision of this church is leading people to become fully, not half-baked, not halfway, fully devoted followers of Jesus. You know, the world is filled with people that are half-baked. The world is filled with people that they want to go to heaven. They just don't want to go right now. Their world is filled with people that think that maybe this is heaven. Like, I've got it so made. This is so wonderful. I love all my, look at all the toys I've got. Look at the stuff. Look at the money. And somehow they think this is heaven. Right? We have to realize that God is a jealous God, and He'll not share our devotion, our worship, with anything or anyone else. He wants all of us. He wants us to be fully devoted, not half devoted. Okay? So one of the reasons we get taken to the cleaners and the devil eats our lunch every single time is when we find ourselves with a foot in the kingdom and a foot in the world. I want to be a follower of Jesus, but I still want to enjoy all of this stuff as well. Right? And we find ourselves not fully devoted, and we're just victim to what we've provided for ourselves. We'll read that more in James. Right? What we've done is we've sabotaged our own life by being half in and half out. Become fully devoted followers. Totally commit yourself to God. Realize this world is not your home. This is not where you were meant to stay. This is preparation for the next life. This is preparation for eternity. We're just strangers passing through, right? We got to get this into our minds, and when we wake up every day, we can kick the covers off and put our feet in the ground and say, Lord, I'm reporting for duty. What do you want me to do? I am all yours. Totally commit yourselves to God. The key is to not allow any part of you to become a tool for the devil. Not our bodies, not our minds, not our emotions. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely, say completely, completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have what? New life. Say that, new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Is that so hard? You want to overcome temptation? Number one, just plug that in. Totally commit yourself to God. Every aspect, every morsel, every fiber of my being is God's. And protect it. Reserve it for God's use only. That's the T. Totally commit yourselves to God. E, establish accountability. Establish accountability. Too many of us are like the kamikaze pilot who flew 33 missions. Some of you are going to have to take that home. I'm not going to mention any names today. Nope. Great start, terrible follow through, right? Too many of us have this great intention, but just terrible follow through. And why is that? I think for so many of us, the terrible follow through is because we don't have accountability. We don't have accountability. Every single one of you, including myself, needs an accountability partner. We need somebody in our lives that will ask the tough questions. How are you doing in this area? You've mentioned, or I've seen, or I've observed, or whatever. Sometimes just, you don't even have to know. You just say, how are you doing? How are you doing with purity? Parents, we ought to do that with our kids. How are you doing keeping yourself pure before the Lord? Guy friends, how's your eyes doing? You have eyes only for your wife? We all need accountability. I can tell you by personal experience, it is not fun to go up to somebody and say, you know what, I've got this area in my life that I need help with. Will you help me? Will you hold me accountable? Too many people fall because of a lack of accountability. You want to be victorious over the devil? Find yourself an accountability partner. Totally commit yourself to God. E, establish accountability. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Accountability is so important. The third one, I love this third one, and I love the idea that it's right in the middle of this backronym. We've got totally commit yourself to God, establish accountability, and then the M right in the middle, meditate on God's word. You want to know the number one thing that will help you be victorious over the devil and temptation is to meditate on God's word. How do you, remember, how did Jesus defeat the devil in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted? With the word of God, right? We have got to meditate on the word of God. We've got to keep it in our hearts and in our minds. The writer of Hebrews says it so well in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And Psalm 119, verse 11, of course, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Meditate on God's word. Every day, you know, we're living in a day of technology where there's so much stuff at our fingertips. I wonder what it would look like if you hit the remote control on the TV and it didn't come on until you spent 15 minutes in God's word. You suppose you'd be able to get your reading done then? Or what about if you grabbed your cell phone and you wanted to see what was going on Facebook and things like that? But it wouldn't go there until you had 15 minutes in the Word, either listening to it or reading it. You'd get your reading done, wouldn't you? Right? Maybe that's what we need. We need to put some blockers on remote controls and stuff like that. And God's saying, have you forgotten? Meditate on God's Word. It has the power to set us free. It has the power to allow us to be victorious over temptations. Totally commit yourself to God. Establish accountability. Meditate on God's word. P. Pray always. Pray always. I think about how Jesus taught us to pray. Maybe you can help me out. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if there's certain areas in your life that you're struggling with, take it to God. Spend time in prayer. Tell Him what you need. Scripture is very clear. Tell Him what you need and He will deliver the goods. He will not be silent. He will reply. He will answer. He will come to your rescue. Listen, you can have all the strategies, you can have all the gimmicks, you can have all the apps on your phone, you can have all that stuff going and not have a good prayer life and you'll crumble. You want to be victorious over temptations? Remember, temptations aren't something that's going to help you. That's trials. Temptations are devil's attack to ruin you and destroy you. You want to be victorious over temptation, then you have to employ these things. You have to pray. Pray always. And the last one is your thought life. Your thought life. You have to control your thought life. You have to control your thoughts. Billy Graham said, there is always a way of escape from temptation. But sometimes we wait until it's too late. And that's the danger in dabbling in sin. Letting it get into our minds. Most sin is not something impulsive. It's something we've thought about. He nailed it right there, twice. It gets into our minds. It's not just something that, oh, I didn't see that come. It's something we've spent some time thinking about. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your what? Thoughts. One more time. Fix your what? Thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. T, totally commit yourself to God. E, establish accountability. M, meditate on God's word. P, pray always. And T, so important, control your thought life. So let me close with this. So often we rob ourselves of God's very best by thinking that this world is what really matters. I mean, seriously, that's sometimes the one of the biggest things that takes us over the rails with temptation is we think that this is all there is. Like, I haven't had to answer for anything yet. I probably won't. I think I'm going to give up. I think I made it. I think I escaped. And this world is just a blink of an eye. And then you and I are going to get to stand before the risen King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. And we want to be able to stand there having overcome temptation, having not succumbed to the things that the devil wants to use to destroy us and take us farther away from God. We lose our eternal focus and we get lost. We get misled by temptation. Watch this. C.S. Lewis gave this great analogy. He said, we are like children making mud pies in a slum when God promises us a holiday at sea. Now, if you follow the Brits, holiday means vacation. Now, picture this. We think, wow, this is awesome. I got all my toys. I got all my money. I got all my stuff. This is heaven, right? And God's like, you're sitting in a scuzzy, dirty, rancid mud puddle making mud pies. When what I've really got in store for you is a all-inclusive vacation in white sands, crystal clear water, finest food you can imagine, perfect temperature, just enough sun, just enough shade, and you're sitting playing in a mud pile. And that's the way our minds work. And that's what the devil wants you to think. The devil wants you to be convinced that this is heaven. It probably doesn't get much better than this. But it does. It gets amazingly, incredibly better than this. So if I can encourage you to grab a hold of a couple things this morning is this. Number one, understand the difference between trials and temptations. Do not use them as synonymous. Do not interchange them. They're not the same. A trial is often designed by God to help us to become more like His precious Son, Jesus. And a temptation is always used by the devil to take us farther and further away from God. And you want to defeat the devil? You want to defeat and be overcomers of temptation? Then remember those five letters. Totally, not partially, totally commit yourself to God. Establish accountability. If you don't got one, an accountability partner, find one. Somebody that will ask you the hard questions. Somebody that will shoot straight with you. Meditate on God's Word. Even if you need to do it on your device and you let the Word of God speak to you and you're not spending time turning pages, I get it. It's 2020-something-4. Whatever it is, meditate on the Word of God. Pray. Pray. And control your thought life. I already said it. The devil can't get in here. But oftentimes what gets in here spews out of there or comes out in actions. And the last thing is this. Being tempted, sometimes people are like, maybe you're one of those, where you're so hard on yourself because you find yourself being tempted. Temptation is the intersection of opportunity and desire. It's not sin. Remember that. Temptation is not sin. Because my Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points, like you and I, yet He did not sin. Control your thought life. Good in, good out. Garbage in, garbage out. Control your thought life. I've prayed about what I was going to speak about today. I thought about some, trying to find some cool sermon that would really... And I thought, no, this is the place where ministry began. And you'll always, always... have a special place in my heart. And if there's one message that I could deliver to you today, it would be a message to help you be overcomers of the evil one. To not succumb and give in to temptation. To take these five things and be victorious. To rip the roof off this place with the glory of God. So that the world may know that there's a God alive and well in Del Rapids, South Dakota and Quarry Rock Church. So I pray you take this and apply it to your life. And I want to pray over us that God would help us do that. So as the team comes, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your love. Thank you for your word. And thank you for just the simplicity of being able to explain and share what you've put on my heart today. And God, I pray that each and every one of us would have a clearer understanding of God, who you are, and also a clearer understanding that there's still an evil one that seeks to destroy us. But God, you are the victorious one. And because of you, we are victorious and overcomers as well. But in this life, we have to put some things in place. And my prayer is that we would do that. And that you would help each and every one of us find us right where we are. God, and you love us right where we are. You receive us right where we are. But God, you want to take us to higher places. You want to take us to new heights of success and joy and victorious Christian living. And so help us to totally commit our hearts and our lives, our bodies, our minds, everything to you. Help us to get rid of pride that says we don't need accountability. We can handle it on our own. Help us to shed that and embrace and establish accountability. Help us to fall in love fresh and anew with your word. And spend quality time in it every day before social media, before the TV, before anything else gets any of our time. God, may you get our time. And God, give us a strong, a powerful prayer life. Because we believe that prayer changes things. And God, I pray that you would guard our hearts and our minds, control our thoughts. Help us to think on things that are lovely and pure and admirable. Good. And I pray that this body of believers known as Quarry Rock Church would be true lovers of Jesus, and they would be lovers and supporters of their wonderful pastor, and that they would encourage Pastor Tim and love on Pastor Tim and help Pastor Tim be the man of God that he wants to and needs and is for this season. God, do amazing things in this place. We love you so much, and we give this day to you. We pray it all in the strong, wonderful, indescribable, amazing name of Jesus. And together we said,
Amen.